were originally approached by BD&C, Building Design and Construction, which is a publication partner of ours. And we had been advertising with them for years. And one of their people over there in charge of digital marketing, Adam, gave us a call and said, hey, how would you guys feel about doing a blog? And the PR team looked internally and thought, oh my gosh, who has the bandwidth to do a blog? And they came to me and said, hey, Sasha, how would you like to write a blog? And I had never been a writer. I wouldn't fancy myself as a writer, but I am passionate about the industry. So I said, this could be great. This could be this avenue that the CEO and I were discussing. This could be a platform to begin those conversations. And so we started from there, and we started writing a blog, and we decided that we didn't want the blog to be a product pitch. From the beginning, Rich, the CEO, and I, we're not big fans of sales pitches. We don't like being sold to, and both of us are slightly more introverted in nature, so it's very uncomfortable for us to feel like we're pitching something. Mm-hmm. So instead, we just decided to talk about the challenges in digital communication within the industry and the solutions that are coming on board and the people that are driving these solutions, and that was really the platform. So the goal was to be able to create conversations around digital communication, collaboration, innovation, and if hopefully Bluebeam can be weaved in there, but more organically where it naturally fits rather than telling a Bluebeam story specifically. And then the video came in because I feel like there's so much power in video. The world is becoming smaller. Geography is no longer a limitation to a mind share. And so I really wanted to leverage video as a way of translating personalities and intelligence and ideas and passion in a visual format that anybody anywhere in the world could view. And I do. I have literally have viewers all over the world. In fact, I have somebody out in the Dubai area, a brilliant, brilliant engineer who has many, many years of experience. And he'll often email me these long, thoughtful emails after one of the blogs or the video blogs. Wow. With his perspective. And to me, that is the future. What you're doing, that idea of communicating in a digital format that can be consumed from different perspectives around the globe and being able to share those perspectives, I think is the way that we're truly going to solve these big challenges.
Well, hopefully so. And as you mentioned, it's great that you're pushing the boundaries. Video, to be honest, in BIM, I can name two outlets for video, yourself and the B1M. I think that is about it. And then audio is not very often seen either. It's just getting these mediums out and hope engaging people in different ways, because yes, it's great to read something in a text format, but it's quite exciting to do something else. And you're doing video because I think you look better on than I will on a camera anyway.
not true. I've seen your picture. Not true.
Well, thank you very much. Now we'll move on to the episodes that I've seen of DigitalCom that are BIM related. Now, there's quite a few on there, so if people have missed them, they can go back to them because the archive is all available on YouTube. Now, there was actually one recently from a legal perspective as well, which was very, very interesting, that BIMCrunch covered. For those who missed those episodes, can you give a short rundown of the type of discussion that's already happened on DigitalCom in relation to BIM?
Sure. The last one was super, super exciting. I couldn't wait to get Lindsay Flugrath from Skellinger Bender on camera. This particular one that you're referring to was captured at BIM Forum, which is a BIM conference here in the U.S. that occurs, I think it's twice a year, spring and fall. And she was part of a panel discussion, said, can BIM be used as a deliverable? Will it work? And the panel was an architect, a contractor, and a lawyer, and it was moderated by a success manager from Autodesk. So you had the software company and all the right players on stage, and they were talking about BIM as a deliverable with the right of reliance. And I was actually to capture both the software and contractors conversation, and then a separate podcast or a separate vlog was able to do Lindsay as the legal perspective. And what I think she offered that was most valuable was choosing your lawyer on a project where you're really looking to push the bounds of collaboration and have a more open, shared liability type of relationship. You really need to make sure you have a lawyer who understands the nuances of allowing a team to have contracts, yet give them room to play within the bounds of those contracts so that the legal team doesn't get in the way of the innovation of the team. And so she says it way more eloquently than I do. So I definitely recommend you check that out. Some of the other BIM specific vlogs that I've been able to do are really relating towards kind of the practical realities of BIM. I know there's lots and lots of great conversations around what people are trying to do, where the market wants to go. And a lot of the UK BIM crew, I love interacting with them on Twitter and when I'm lucky enough to get over there, about the goal of where we're going. But my conversation is I usually come in slightly as an agitator to say, okay, I agree with the goal. I think this is absolutely where we want to be. But are we going to get there fast enough if we don't give everybody in the industry a stepping stone to that reality? And so a lot of the conversations I have are about this practical ways of leveraging other solutions in order to create stepping stones into a model-based workflow. And so that's what they can find on my blog.
The link will definitely be below this interview to check out the DigitalCom videos because they are great. And you mentioned earlier, what I really love about them is, you know, they help and strengthen the Bluebeam brand, you know, the umbrella, because the videos are not just about pushing Bluebeam content. They're about creating the big conversations that people want to listen to, aren't they?
Yeah. And this is, gosh, I love my job. I feel very lucky. This is the wonderful part about being in the industry at this point in time. I mean, my first architectural job working for an architectural office was in 1989, and I was quite young. But not that young. And I was there when they were making the leap into CAD from drafting. And I remember the architect in the office, this was in Honolulu where I grew up. And I remember the architect saying, yeah, those two new graduate students from University of Hawaii, let's give them this thing called AutoCAD. They can play with it, but that's never going to be the reality. Everybody's still going to draft by hand. And that really stuck out in my mind as a young woman to kind of see the rift that was being created by technology. And so here we are many, many years later, and we're seeing this same kind of transformation or pivot within the industry, not just from paper to technology, but really from one technology implementation to another. So being able to be a part of the conversations around this major change, all being driven by the fact that we now live in the information age, is pretty exciting. But not unlike 1989, the only thing that really holds us back is not the technology, but it's the mentality, it's the culture, and it's the ability for individuals and people to change. And I think that that change will only come if they're able to demonstrate workflows where they begin to build new relationships, there begins to be trust, and they begin to see the value of their trade partners in a new light with this collaborative model. So it's a great time to be in the industry. I really lucked out.
I totally agree. And yeah, I agree. I love my job too. So F5. Now, speaking of conversations, a lot of them were happening when news broke that Bluebeam were acquired by Nemetschek in October 2014. Now, how big of an impact did that agreement have on the business?
Nemetschek was pretty much hand selected by the executive team as being that one company that Bluebeam would want to be acquired by and work with, primarily because of Nemetschek's stance on open BIM. And it just seemed that the two companies shared a philosophy on the goal is to make the industry better while hopefully creating a viable business model. And I think that's a very difficult line to walk for most companies. But Nemetschek is an interesting company in that it is a board which then has 13 brands underneath the Nemetschek board, each being their own individual software company, fully autonomous to run the business the way they want, with the opportunity for integration between the brands, but without there being an expectation or demand for that. So for Bluebeam, knowing that we still have a lot of runway in front of us, we're still in a strong growth pattern, we really wanted to make sure that whoever we partnered with or are acquired by didn't squelch that growth or didn't try to change the company, because at the end of the day, we're providing solutions for the industry that we feel are really important. And we also feel very loyal to our customers to not change, to still remain the company that they love and only to grow.
Exactly. And your ethos has remained the same. And you mentioned earlier about how Bluebeam is a small jigsaw piece in the major puzzle, and that can be seen by Bluebeam's extreme conferences as well. Now, these are conferences that happen across the world and different cities, and they're all about, again, how Bluebeam has established itself as not just a software company, but also a company that are passionate about delivering conversations. And can you tell me more about how those conferences were born?